transitioning into some other things. One of them's motherhood and raising a new child. So they'll be due pretty soon. So, but we're having a little reception on the way out. If you are here and would like to say an encouraging word to Whitney, we're going to have some videos, some different things going on. And then on the way out, we'll have some cake and punch, and you can we'll have a little basket there where maybe you can put a letter or a gift card or something in just to encourage Whitney and thank her for 14 years. I was a youth pastor for 23 years, and I never stayed anywhere 14 years. I was always 6, 7, 8 years, and I would move on to something else. So 14 years is a big deal, and we will miss her, and but we also know that she's going to transition in some other things that are going to be really cool. And so come be a part of that next week. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for life groups, and we thank you that you've always raised up leaders here at our church to say, I'll stand beside you as we study the word, and that we can care for each other and we can love on each other. And so, God, I just pray for this fall as everything that happens with our groups, I pray that we all will return to joy a little bit. God, we all need some joy in our life. And it is so easy to get, to not be joyful. It is so easy to see the negative and not the things that you're doing in our life. And so, God, we thank you for that. We just, we pray that you will just let us well up with a joy. May your strength be our joy and that how strong you are, not us. I pray these next few minutes that you'll shut my mouth where it needs to be shut, open it where it needs to be open. Thank you for this word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I hear Juby out there. She has this grunt. It's this distinctive grunt. It's I love that. I love that part of it. So we finished up a series last week called Strong and Courageous Old Testament. I was going to follow it up and go Old Testament and talk about Judges, and it was really cool, and I had all these things I wanted to do with it, and I couldn't get it together. It just would not come. No matter what I did, it wouldn't come. Had a great title. I had a bunch of things I wanted to say about it, and I guess it'll have to be another time. So what I'm going to talk about today is something I kind of punted. And when you punt, that means you thought you were going one direction and you end up going another direction. So here we are. And so you say, Jeff, what are we going to talk about? Well, here it is. Becoming a one another church. Everybody say that with me. Becoming a one another church. What does that mean? Well, it is a phrase that is talked about in the Bible time and time again. Since the inception of the church, the important thing for the church to do was to be there for one another, to have all these things that we do for others, to show them who Jesus is and to show them who he is in our life specifically. And so the trouble that we have today is that the more that we live, the more that we get disconnected from people, and the more opportunities we have for social getting together. We have so much social. Many of you have lots and lots of friends on social media, but how deep are those friendships? How strong are those friendships? And yet research shows us that all this connectedness that is in our country, in our world, we are somewhat disconnected. We've exchanged deep friendships. We have exchanged deep cutting-edge I'll come sit by your side. I'll come walk through whatever hell you're going through, and I'll go through it with you to this angry keyboard warrior type mentality that many of us have. Anybody can sit on a keyboard and be angry and be critical. Anybody can sit on a keyboard and tear things to shreds. I talked about it last week a little bit. We have shredded restaurants in this city completely by a little thing called Franklin City Chat. Every time that something happens in every... I'm a part of Brookville Chat where I grew up, and it's the same thing. It's not just here. We shred others behind this angry little desk because we can and because nobody's holding us accountable. And people might scream at us and yell at us, oh, they're getting mad at us online. Who cares? Who cares? It's online. Guys, we have got to stop caring about that kind of stuff and start caring about being shoulder to shoulder with people and getting back in touch with who people are and going through their lives with them. So many of you walked in here today and you have burdens. You have burdens you're carrying. If you walked in here, you have burdens. You walked in here with a load of burdens. Doesn't matter if you're handling them well or you're not handling them well, you walked in here today with those burdens. And so today, when we talk about becoming a one another church, what exactly are we talking about? So let me tell you a little intro and then I'll dive right into it. I think it's not going to be long today, but we'll see what happens. The New Testament devotes itself to emphasizing in over a dozen passages, 59 times, a command to do something with one another. God meant for us to live out in a community with one another. Here's a list, and I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to read a few because you're going to check out after about 6 seconds, so let me just read a couple. The one another passages. Love one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, build up one another, be like-minded towards one another, accept one another, admonish one another, care for one another, serve for one another, bear one another, forgive one another, be patient with one another. And it goes on, 59 of those, 59. And approximately of those 59 occurrences, they are all specific commands teaching us how to relate to each other. And obedience to those commands is imperative. It is not a suggestion. It is not a suggestion to do the things that I just mentioned. And so today we're going to talk about bearing one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens. The word one another in the original language was alelon, al-elon, al-elon, which basically means this word to be there for others and walk through whatever it is that they're going through as they're going through this life. And so that's today what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how do we become a one another church. And we're starting today with bearing one another's burdens. So let's dig right in. Here's what's important, I think, and what gets missed. You can come to a church for a long time, and if I was really, you know, evil, and I'm not, but if I was evil, and I ask you to stand up and start picking people's names and who they are and what they do, a lot of you would have a hard time. If I'd ask some of you over here, what some of these guys over here, who they are, their names, a lot of you would have a hard time doing it. And you've been coming to church for a long time, some of you. And if I ask, I'd get a little deeper, I'd say, well, what do they do for a living?
I don't know.
And I ask you, what are they currently, what's some of the struggles are going on? I don't know. I can sure tell you mine. I can tell you my struggles, because there are plenty. And I got them, and I'll list them for you. Anytime you ask me, I'm going to tell you, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm broke, I'm mad, I'm not woke, I'm this, I am woke, I'm not, it just comes out. It just comes out. We want to be a one another church. And I think over the last 21 years, we've had some good runs. We've had some really good runs. Otherwise, I don't think we'd still be here. But we're kind of like a roller coaster, like because we're people. And our church has these times where it goes along and it's pretty good. And then it's just, there's really deep valleys. And then it's, I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming. I know what's coming. Ah! And then you go, and it just, and it, that's just our church. We've had hills and valleys, so many. And some days we're really good at bearing burdens, and other days we really stink. We really stink. And if you, here's the premise of what I'm trying to say. If you know people's names, if you start to know people's hurts, if you start to know what people are going through, you, as a Christian, cannot help but care. You can't help but care because God put it in us. He put it in us to do that. Because if we don't do that, generally what happens is we get stuck on me, taking care of me. I don't feel good, so I'm going to make myself feel good. I'm depressed, so I'm going to do something to get rid of it. And you see, and this focus on us, it becomes a real problem, and it's a problem in the church when God commanded us to bear one another's burdens, and we're not doing it. It's an issue. It's an issue. We want to be a one another church, and our text today is found in Galatians. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. I've got it up here, I believe. And we're going to just read these first five verses. We're going to tear it apart, and then we're going to go home. I got two truths I want to send you home with. There we are. Brothers and sisters, kind of a weird way to act open. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to somebody else. For each of you should carry your own load. Kind of a mixture of things going on there. So let's look at this passage. Let's look at it one verse by verse, and let's walk back through it. Brothers and sisters, he starts out. So you understand he's writing to Christians. He's not writing to people who aren't Christians. He's writing to this Christian community. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who are living by the Spirit, okay, that's Christians, should restore that person gently. But watch yourself so you're not overcome or tempted. It doesn't say people who aren't Jesus people. Our job is not to correct people who are not Jesus people. Let me make sure we get that down today. We can't get so mad at non-Jesus people for not being Jesus people. They don't believe in Jesus. But he does give us the ability to crank on Christians a little bit, to come along Christian and saying, what in the name of Sam Hill are you doing? What is going on in your life? What do you think? He very much opens up the door for Christians to come along, those who are led by the Spirit, not led by what you think, not led by, oh, that's embarrassing you and embarrassing me and embarrassing the church. No, it's those that are led by the Spirit are able to come along those that are cutting a rug and cutting it up, and it's bad. We're allowed to come along those types of people. We're allowed to bear those people's burdens. But first of all, we got to let them see that they're getting ready to create a burden for themselves. How many people have you watched go down the tubes? How many marriages have you watched go down the tubes and you haven't said anything about it? Well, I don't want to get involved. If I say something, they'll ding me on my marriage. Oh, okay. Maybe it's God calling you to get yours in line a little bit. And then you can go talk to those people, because God needs you to go talk to those folks. God needs you to be in those people's lives. It's important. So when you see red flags or you sense that there's something wrong with another Christian, we need to take an interest, not just say, that stinks for them. How many of you said that recently? Oh, they're going through a really hard time. Man, do better. God bless you. I'll pray for you. That's kind of hollow, shallow, not bearing any kind of a burden. When Jesus was here, he modeled intimacy. He modeled getting together. He said, as often as you do, get together, rub shoulders, be intimate, come alongside of each other. And this is not the place that happens. It is not. You can come in this room, walk in this room, and touch three people and not know anything else about them or their lives and walk right out, except maybe something that I say up here. You know, so-and-so's going through had somebody die, or so-and-so, somebody is hurting, or so-and-so is in the hospital. And you know that. What do you do about it? Well, some of you pray. We used to write cards. Nobody writes cards anymore. What's a card? God is calling us to come alongside the people. I think that's what, when the salt and pepper really start grinding around us and start just hitting the fan really hard, I think what's going to happen is when the church can say, I'm going to bear your burden. How can I do that? What can I do for you? Not what can you do for me? Because so many of us, when we come to this place, we come looking for, make me feel better because I don't feel good. And then the band stands up and you sing a few songs and they may be off key a little bit or they're not working or it doesn't work or whatever happens and you go, oh, that didn't do anything for me. See, it wasn't for you to start with. It's for Jesus. The preacher stands up and he steps on your toes a little bit. Well, I didn't like that. Being a burden bearer means that we lift and we shoulder other people's responsibilities. It's a heavy weight to another person. And in hopes of what as we come along that the side of that person, we try to reduce their load. We try to take off some of the heaviness. And Paul says, watch yourself so that you will not be tempted. Watch yourself so you won't be tempted. I used to tell my kids this all the time, and I tell this to so many people. If you've got a friend that is pulling you down and you can't pull them up, leave that friend. If they're allowing you, making you, whatever you want to, words you want to use to get in the cesspool of life and to say things and to be a part of things that you shouldn't be a part of, leave that friendship because you're not strong enough to pull them up. They're pulling you down. That's what Paul's talking about. Be very, very careful. And so in verse 2, he says the heart of this message, bear each other's burdens. Now, when we think of a burden, we think of a heavy load. It might be our sin. It might be a sin that somebody did to us. It might be a circumstances. It might be a situation that comes from living in this horrible, sinful world. And it may just be just a very heavy burden that you're carrying. Burdens also aren't always related to sin. Your burden might be a medical diagnosis. It might be a financial setback. It might be a child or a grandkid that is just out of touch with Jesus. It may be something like that. A definition of a burden, I think I put this on there. Next one, I think. Maybe. Maybe not. Yes? It stuck, froze? Ooh. Ah, okay, just leave it there. A definition. Let me give it to you. Okay, it was me. Forget it. So here's the definition of a burden. A burden is a sin. It's a setback or a situation that we face or carry. It's something that it sets us back and it goes, ooh, that hurt. Okay, Van, come up here real quick. Come here. Yeah, Van. And let's see. Dave Sherfield, come up here. Yeah, just right up here. Right there. Yeah. Would you pick up Adam's wonderful $5,000 guitar there? It's not $5,000. I'm just kidding. And just hold on to it for just a second. Dave, this is Pond Chemical. I want you to hold that above your head. Just hold it above your head. Above your head. It's 3.5, I think, what is it, 4 pounds? Okay, hold it above your head. Okay, now start walking around. Okay, Van, I'd like you to just hold that above your head and start walking around. Just keep walking around. Just keep walking. Walk down and up and down. Just keep walking up and down. There you go. Just get some exercise. All right. Okay, stay up here. They're just doing their thing. You get the point. They've got some burdens. I imposed some burdens upon them. I gave them, and they picked it up, and they decided to carry them. Okay? So there they are carrying. Dave, straighten them out. Here we go. Keep going. Don't stop here. It's a burden. It's your burden. You carry it. You see, when Paul told the Ephesians, he said, or the Galatians, he said, you're not free from keeping the rituals of the Mosaic law. He said, you are free to, you have to keep God's law. Is it getting heavy yet? Straighten those arms a little bit, man. Just a little bit more. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. It refers back to a time that he wrote, just keep going. You guys are good. Just keep going. Let me give you a couple of verses while they're walking. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, for some of the habit of doing. We're giving up a horrible thing by not coming to church. So many people don't come to church. It's important that you rub, don't put it on your head. It's important that you rub shoulders with people so you know what's going on in their life. Otherwise, you don't know. Dave, are you okay? Hey, Josh, would you take his place? Go ahead, Josh. He's going to take your burden. Van, you keep going. You're doing all right. All right. Did that feel better, Dave? Do you feel like you're not so embarrassed? Yeah, okay. Dave's in good shape. How you doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing
good. All right, good. All right. All right, keep looking up here. Josh, you all right, buddy? All right. Galatians 5:14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There it is. It's this vertical thing with God. We love him. We love others. If we love him, we've got to love others. Other people are our business. They are our business. Hey, wait a minute. What the heck? What? Vincent, help him out. Go help him out. Hurry. Josh, are you about to die?
Not yet.
Are you wishing you would have done more Pilates? All right. Jesus gives us these commands that we're to love others. And the only way we can do that is if we love him, because if we don't love him, we get tired of loving others. And the burden that we're carrying gets really, really heavy. And so God is calling you as a church today to come alongside people that you see that are struggling a little bit, that whether it's a heavy burden, here's the other thing I want you to know. Vincent is not the burden. The burden is Adam's dang guitar case, okay? Vincent, but we view people. Are you dead? Okay, don't lose the pants. All right, here we go. Mine do that all the time, I understand. People are not the burden, but we make people the burden. You all right, Vince?
Yeah.
All right. People are not the burden. The burden is the burden, and we've got to be sure where we take that, church. It is so important. So you guys can now put your burdens down. You can put them back up here. Thank you so much. Give them a big hand. Give Van a hand. Josh. How come none of you jumped up there and helped him when you saw he was helping? Only Dave did. What happened? Oh, there's something to say there. Are you leaving us, Vince? Oh, yeah, you can put it back in there. I want you to remember this today, because I think God is calling us to be that church that takes notice when people's pants start to get a little bit uncomfortable, when their arms start to cramp a little bit. He wants us to notice, to be those people that say, let me stand in the gap for you. That's where this church, how we got to where we are right now. We have been a little lazy, a little complacent, because you know why? Whatever reason, the devil's got us all so dang busy in our stuff, and some of you have got horrific, horrible health things going on. You've got financial things. You've lost people in your life. And so what you do is the focus becomes on you and not on other people's burdens. God has called us to notice other people's burdens and to come alongside them. So there's two truths I'm going to send you home with, and then we're done, believe it or not. Truth number one, when bearing one another's burdens, our love for God fuels our love towards others. It's not, I want to do nice things for other people. A lot of you are good servants. You're such good servants. But after a while, you get tired of it. You get tired of it. And the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, a lot of horses in this church have gotten tired of doing the same thing and not other people helping and just going along, just doing what they're doing. And it's created these burdens, these heavy guitar-sized burdens that people are trying to keep going, and they're tired of doing it. I don't mean doing stuff here at church. I mean helping others. And so we have got to get our focus back on what our focus to be, to become the one another church. We have to get back to this, where we do it and it's based on what God does through us. True love for our neighbors is more than a feeling. It's more than a GoFundMe. It's more than I'm just going to give you $5 and I hope you go away. We get to carry other burdens just as Jesus carried burdens for us. There are people who we cross paths with on a daily basis who need your help. There are people that walk in this church every Sunday with a burden and nobody sees it. And we're going, well, you know, our church should grow more. It should do this. It should do that. If we, the church, will start to notice other people's burdens, I think those things will take care of themselves. We have to take an interest in people. We have to get out of our shells. And we have to say, you know, somebody lost their job. What can I do besides, I'll pray for you, yes. Can I look at maybe I'll tell somebody at my work or what, you know. It's just nice to have somebody care a little bit. And it can't just come from one or two or three people. Paul's saying, wherever you find people needing help, you're there to do what you can. You're strong in the faith. You're strong in the faith so that God can do something through you. And they go, oh, thank you. Not just thank you. Man, their arms are tired. Their feet are tired. Their minds are tired. So in verse 3, he comes back and he says, make certain that you don't think you're too spiritual at all. And that's where I think some of us, not all of us, but a lot of us get, you know, they don't need my help. Somebody else will do it because, you know, I'm doing this over here. I'm in charge of this, so just let that go. Really? That can't be the case either. If you think you're too important, you're not. If you think you're too important to get involved in somebody else's life, you're not. People are our business. They are not the burden. The people that we help with the hub, they are not the burden. The people that walk into these doors with gaping wounds, they're not the burden. They're carrying the burden. Our job as a church is to find ways to meet those burdens. Second truth is a very simple one. When bearing one another's burdens, we honor others above ourselves. And that's a hard one. We honor other people more than ourselves. Wow, that's tough. See, nobody is better than anyone else. The Christian community should be marked by humility. We should be marked by not pride, but as a people who say, let me walk alongside of you. What can I do? Because when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to never be the same. We don't become like the world, church. We don't become like the world. Jesus doesn't hate the world. Jesus loves the world. Jesus wants us to shun the sin of the world, but he doesn't want us to hate the world. See, Christian customer service is one of the most important things there is because that's who we are. We are the customer service vehicle of Christianity. We are the people that you can't stand when you go into Walmart and you go in there and say, would you please help me? And what's your job? Well, I'm customer service. I don't know where that is. And you know it. You go to Lowe's or and you want somebody to help you. And there's nobody there to help you. And all you want, except Josh. Josh is there, right? All right, Josh is at Lowe's all the time. I'm sorry. We are the arm of Jesus Christ. We are the feet of Jesus Christ. We are the customer service division. He closes out the next verse then. Galatians 4 and 5 verse says this. I think 3 and 4. My bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was wrong. Let me get to there. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort, listen, so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Now, five. There we go. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. That is so important to get a hold of today. The word for load in verse 5 is different from the word burden in verse 2. It seems contradictory that he ends up this whole passage on carrying each other's burdens when he says, you got to carry your own load. What's he talking about? How do I do that? The word for load in verse 5 just means this. You carry with you every day. It's what God has given you. It's manageable. It's yours to carry. Some of you are stressed a little bit carrying your loads, but it's a load that God gave you. Some of you are doing it with less body parts. Some of you are doing it with less mental capability. Some of you are doing it with health diminished. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Use the abilities that you have. Carry that. That's your load. That's yours to carry. That's a message to every 20, 30-something out there. It's not your mom and dad's. It is not your mom and dad's responsibility to make you happy. It is not your mother and father's responsibility to carry your load. You carry your load. You carry your load. Think of it like a backpack. It's a military term if you go dig deep in this passage. It's a backpack on a soldier. It's actually this military term. The idea here is that there's this pack on this soldier's back, and it's yours. It's got your stuff for you to carry so that you can come alongside and bear other burdens. You've got exactly what you need in your pack to carry. So carry that, and when you're carrying your pack, then go carry somebody else's load, somebody else's burden. There we go. Here's a run-on sentence that I'm very good at. I was trying to come on a run-on sentence because you all love my English, because my English stinks most of the time. But it says this. Here's my 2 cents on what burden-bearing is. Burden-bearing is when your pain lives in my heart. It's when your pain lives in my heart. It's the language that the deaf can hear, the blind can see, because when you carry someone's burden, you look like Jesus. You never look more like Jesus when you carry somebody else's burden. God can use